Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships worked even longer, even harder for less. But they too had a dream that one day their sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandsons, great-granddaughters might pursue prosperity.
Does it get any better than this? Hello and good afternoon and welcome everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show and it's on blogtalkradio.com and all across the country. I'll get to let you know in just a few minutes. It's on the AM/FM radio network, Boulder, Colorado, Tampa, Florida, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, Milwaukee, and Macon, Georgia. Welcome. And those of you who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, welcome to the Ron Kelly Show. You can like the Ron Kelly Show on Twitter, it's just at Ron Kelly, and on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. A true Trumpian style, with one tweet, President Trump has changed the narrative from the Russians and his campaign to former President Obama and this ridiculous assertion that the former president bugged Trump Towers during the 2016 presidential campaign. Oh, man, you can't make this stuff up. In any case, everybody, welcome. Welcome to the program. I believe we'll have Jay John Dye Harrell, who will be calling to the program in just a few minutes. He is the director of the Center for Returning Citizens. We'll have him on and we'll talk about the case of Kalief Browder. Also, President Trump's reset of the private prisons where, you know, President Barack Obama tried to lessen the involvement of private prisons in the correctional system. And now President Trump has reversed that. So we'll talk about that and a whole bunch of other things. The travel ban and this wiretapping. You just cannot make this stuff up. In any case, everybody, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here on a Tuesday afternoon, 3 p.m. You know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com. As a matter of fact, you can go to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. And you can find out where the show airs all across America. I have a pinned at the top. And as a matter of fact, in Las Vegas, it's 107.1 FM and 1520 AM. In Macon, Georgia, it's 87.9 FM and 810 AM. And Lancaster is 102.1 FM, 1640 AM. So you get the picture. Just log on to the Ron Kelly Show, and you can find out exactly where those stations are in those six locations across the United States of America. In any case, everybody, welcome once again to the program. You know what time it is. This is the Ron Kelly Show. So, you just can't, you know, Trump, I tell you, in true Trump fashion, this is a true Trumpian move. You know, and you got to give President Trump credit for this one. I mean, even though it's outrageous, but everything he does is outrageous. So, you know, you can't be surprised by this latest move. But I got to tell you, it worked. It absolutely worked. Trump tweeted on Saturday morning that he made an assertion that President Obama was responsible for wiretapping Trump Tower during the presidential campaign 2016, like there was something that could have been learned, even if this was true. Let's examine this for a second. Even if this was true, I mean, what in the world could we have learned about Trump and his campaign? Because is it actually Trump? It's well known that Trump thought he was going to lose. Trump and his son Eric were on the move. They were putting together a television network, the Trump TV or something, or that they had planned to do after the election. So they had no idea they were going to win, and neither did anybody else. Poor Hillary Clinton didn't even come out for the rally that in her matter of fact, the rally at the Javits Center, she didn't come out. She was so shocked that she didn't even come out. But let's take this time to welcome J. John Dye Harrell from the Center for Returning Citizens. Welcome, Brother John Dye. Welcome to the program.
How you doing? Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
Wonderful.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Thank you for being on your show. And hello to your listening audience.
Thank you, sir. Everybody, now the let me just play devil's advocate for a second here, Brother John. I know John, the Center for Returning Citizens is an advocacy program for folks who are coming out of the prison system. And now, what about the, you know, and I understand you're heavily involved in this, Brother John Dye, you yourself having been incarcerated at one time in your life, that's correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, what about, okay,
two
now let
periods
me just
of incarceration that. Over a 25-year period.
25, okay, there was a number of incarcerations over a quarter century.
Well, no, two periods of incarceration, a 7.5 on 15 and 18 on 20.
Okay, wow. You know, and many of us who are listening can't even imagine, Brother John Dye, can't even imagine having to spend that much time in prison. So let me be let me play devil's advocate here. What about the folks who might say, well, you know, well, what, don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. What about the folks who, notwithstanding the, issues where people are set up and evidence is falsified and stuff like that. I mean, I'm talking about folks who actually committed crimes. So what do you say to that? Or people who say, well, you know, you shouldn't have done it, and why should we have any pity? What do you say to that, Brother John Dye?
Well, I actually committed a crime. You know, I was a bank robber, and I robbed a multitude of banks. But in the context of that situation, it came from a period of time where we're looking at the government as an enemy and white people as enemy, and we felt that if you took money from the system and you used it in your neighborhood, you know, that was justified for what white people and the government had done to black people. Now, of course, that was a flawed theological stance, and I really came to realize that when I was incarcerated with real revolutionaries and real political prisoners. And so over the course of time, I became a politicized prisoner. I was able to come under the mentorship of Dr. Metoo Shakur, who, as many folks know, is the stepfather of Tupac Shakur, but more importantly, one of the co-founders of the Nation of New Africa. And he was in federal prison, and he formed what we call a circle of consciousness, so that whomever inside of that prison wanted to transform themselves and to prepare for freedom so that he could go back out into the community and benefit our people instead of being a negative influence, we made that possible. So,
okay, so in other words, I'm sorry, Brother John Dye. So in other words, my understanding is it was kind of like taking from the rich to like Robin Hood type of situation, taking from the rich and giving to the poor. Is that what the
you could call
that?
That
what,
you
know. Is that what? Okay. Now, but
that was
again,
the mind frame, you know.
Right, but again,
but that as a mind frame was wrong, you know, because you know our focus now is to rebuild our black community and to become entrepreneurs and to change the economic flow in the black community so that we can be self-supporting, hire our young people, mentor young people, and build a strong society. But that sort of mindset was one that I developed while I was in incarceration under the mentorship of political prisoners like Metoo Shakur and others who had changed their lives and who were a positive influence. So that's what the Center for Returning Citizens do now. We don't just help people in the community who are coming home. Yes, we do direct services. That's a strong part of our work. But our major work is a philosophy of hard work, dedication, and rebuilding our community and advocating for those who are inside, those who are returning, and for our community in general. that's the basis of our work. And folks can go to tcrcphilly.org to fully investigate our philosophy.
That's what's going to tell everybody. Yeah, it's tcrcphilly, PHILLY.org. That's the website go to.
That's the website. And our Facebook page is TCRC in Philly. And, of course, we have Twitter. It's at John Dye, TCRC.
Okay. All right. But all right. So Trump, now we have this thing with Trump now who, President Obama did initiate executive order that was reduced or eliminated private prisons, the use of private prisons on the federal level. And Trump has turned right around and reversed that decision. So what do you say to that, and what are your thoughts on that, the president has done?
One, I was just reading an article that talked about over $350,000 in campaign contributions that were given by the private industry, and so of course that transformed the thinking of our now president. Obama had spearheaded an initiative to end the private prisons. A lot of folks don't realize that 50% of the youth prisons in this country are now privatized. So what you have is a system where these private prisons contract with counties and states, and they have set occupancy rates. And if the state falls below those rates, then there are penalties. What this creates is a justice for a sale system where courts and judges have to fill the quotas set by these private prisons. So that in itself is a travesty of justice. So for that reason, we should not have a private prison, because what you are doing is you are profiting off of criminal justice. Criminal justice should be a facet of the government that seeks to create restorative justice. And by restorative justice, I mean justice for the victims. An aspect has to be a public safety to protect society, but also you need holistic ways of treating those who are incarcerated. Because for the most part, except for those who receive life sentences, persons who are incarcerated will be coming back out into society. So you need to create holistic ways to help them to heal, to rehabilitate themselves, so when they come back out into society, they can be productive citizens and not a negative influence on the community.
Now, anybody who goes to the Center for Returning Citizens assists returning citizens in the transition from incarceration to society by providing job training, housing assistance, counseling services, legal aid, and referrals. TCRC also helps individuals, families, and communities suffering from the adverse impact of incarceration. You can go on. If you want for more information, everyone who's listening to the program, go to TCRC Philly. That's TCRCHILLY .org. If anyone who's interested in providing assistance to this noble cause, you for the Khalif Browder story, I'm pretty fairly certain you're familiar with Khalif Browder story, brother John. I'm talking to Jay John Dye Harrell from the who represents the Center for Returning Citizens.
Not only do I know the Khalif Browder story, I count his brother, Akeem Browder, as a friend, and I try to mentor him in some sense. He's a very intelligent young brother who has assumed the responsibility for the legacy of his brother and his mother, who has also passed away. She literally died of a broken heart after Khalif died. And soon we hope to have him in Philadelphia. He's going to, I'm looking for a venue so that he can come down and show several of the segments of the six-part documentary that Spike TV is currently filming.
Now, see, and this is a great thing. Matter of fact, it's a six-part series. The second episode airs tomorrow night.
Yes.
it was produced by Jay-Z, which was, you know, this is where you talk about put your money where your mouth is. This was produced by Jay-Z and the Weinstein Company. And for those who are not familiar with this, Khalif Browder took his own life. He committed suicide at the age of 22 years old in his home in the Bronx. Now, Khalif had spent 3 years of his life imprisoned at the notoriously brutal Rikers Island for allegedly stealing a fellow teenager's backpack, which is a petty crime that's actually been committed in the hallways of suburban high schools since forever, with punishment usually no stricter than a few days' detention. Now, Browder's entire time at Rikers was spent awaiting trial, so he never had been convicted. And he did maintain his own. He steadfastly maintained his innocence. He spent 2/3 of his time in jail, nearly 2 years in solitary confinement. Now, this young brother did not even get a chance to go. He was there for 3 years. Most of his time spent in he was abused. Most of his time was spent in solitary, which President Obama did come out with an executive order banning the use of solitary confinement with teenagers after this young brother took his life. So you're saying, you know, that was for those of you who are not familiar with the story. It's on Spike. It's a 6-part series. The second segment airs tomorrow night on Spike. Now, brother, you actually know the older brother of Khalif Browder?
Yes, I know Akeem Browder. Yes,
he's the older brother.
Yes, I met him through Five Malik Ak, who runs Incarcerated Nation, and our branch of TCRC in New York and Harlem. He's the older brother. Yes.
So, how did you come about meeting this brother?
Well, I had a meeting at the Incarcerated Nation office with Five Malik Ak, who is an amazing activist who is tied into much of the hip-hop culture, and he does a lot of supportive work in New York. In fact, he works with Just Leadership USA, and they have a program where they run a diversion program where instead of young men going to Rikers Island, they are assigned by the court to work in their program, and they rehabilitate housing and do other work in the city that can teach them a valuable trade and move them away from incarceration toward a productive lifestyle. So I went to the Incarcerated Nation offices because they're forming a TCRC New York. So when I got there, Akeem was there, and we introduced ourselves, and we had a very productive meeting. And later on, we called and email, call, and talk, and we're developing a positive relationship. As an older brother who has been through incarceration, I have a lot of knowledge and wisdom that I've gained over the years, and he appreciates that fact. And he calls, and we talk about a lot of things that are associated. In fact, recently when he was renegotiating his deal with Weinstein and Jay-Z, he called. And we had a long conversation about that, and it came out much in his favor. So he's a great brother, and I'm very happy that his family is able to publicize Khalif's story and use it as an example against solitary confinement, because here's a young brother who, one, should have never been incarcerated because he was innocent, and two, he was in jail because he couldn't make bail. Now, here in Philadelphia, we have a no-cash bail movement, and we are fighting to create a system where young people, well, in fact, anybody who's charged with a crime but does not have the finances to make bail would be released and then put into a program to ensure they come back to court. But here's a brother who spent 3 years incarcerated simply because he couldn't make bail. His charges were thrown out, but he was so traumatized by those 3 years of solitary confinement and constant violence that 2 years later he committed suicide because he could not adjust his life back to reality. And this is a terrible situation that should not happen.
Well, it should not have happened at all. As a matter of fact, Lee Browder spent 3 years in the Rikers Island jail system for a crime. He'd never gone to court. Imagine 3 years for this young man, 3 years in jail for something you didn't do, and you didn't even get the benefit of a court date. Now in New Jersey, where I live, they have passed bail. There's a bail reform. Called Bail Reform and Speedy Trial Act, and it eliminates bail for minor crimes such as the one that Khalid Browder was accused of, and is expected to significantly reduce the state's jail population. Now, under this new law, courts will use a risk assessment tool to decide whether or not a defendant should be released pre-trial rather than simply assigning that person a cash bail. Now, this tool was created through the Laura and John Arnold Foundation. I'm not sure who they were. It evaluates a defendant's risk of failing to appear, committing another offense, or committing a violent offense. Now, this tool, basically, it assesses the age at the time of the alleged offense, whether the offense was violent, past convictions and failures to appear in court, and other pending charges. It doesn't consider race, ethnicity, or geography among those factors. So you're saying that this is something that, as a matter of fact, we'll take a quick break, Brother John. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about your efforts in Pennsylvania, which is a Commonwealth state. It might be a little bit more difficult. I'm not sure of the logistics. But when we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll talk more about the Obama wiretapping situation and a whole lot of other things. So everybody just hold on to your hats, and we'll be right back with more. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AM/FM broadcast network.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly V. LLC.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm... I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating. Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show, 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoons right here on blogtalkradio.com and on the AM/FM broadcast network all across the United States of America, as far away as Boulder, Colorado, Milwaukee, Macon, Georgia, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, and Tampa, Florida. As a matter of fact, in July, I'll be heading down there to Macon to talk to some big-time investors about investing, you know, about advertising on the program. So we'll be down there. So I hope that I hope that nothing goes wrong and the signal is extraordinarily clear when we get down there. But then, yeah, the week of June 24th. Anyway, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the program, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com. You can follow the show on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly, and on Facebook, it's The Ron Kelly Show. Okay, I think we have a caller here. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. I was wanting to call in to bring a light to one of my issues. I see that you're in current events and all that. Well, there's a current event that's not being talked about too much.
What event is that?
There's a thing that is called bail reform, and it's sweeping the country. And just this past week in New Jersey, Chris Christie, the author of Bail Reform, is out trying to defend his law after a 12-year-old was offered sex for a video game, and the guy was released back onto the streets under his own reconnaissance with no warning to the general public. No bail, nothing, just a pinky promise that he would return to court and not leave the state of New Jersey.
Well, according to the law, they're supposed to consider the charges before the person go.
This is how that law works. The bail reform law is supposed to put safety first, and it eliminates a monetary bail system that would allow a dangerous criminal to pay their way out of jail. But the risk assessment tool is supposed to determine if a person is going to reoffend or how dangerous they are to the general public. Now, this case that the caller is speaking of is a case that maybe slipped through the cracks. But this is not supposed to happen under this new.
That must have been an awfully big crack for that to slip through, because I mean, some crimes, especially something like child abuse. A sex crime involving a minor child, that's something that should be just off limits completely. They shouldn't even be considered for bail reform. As a matter of fact, the bail should be in the millions so they would never get out. But I guess it depends on who that person was, how credible the evidence was, how reliable the witness was. There may have been some questions as to...
Is there a problem with the station? Hello?
The caller's still here.
Well, unfortunately, it seems as though the host can't be heard. So if I could speak in terms of this risk assessment, what's supposed to happen is that there's a public safety assessment accounts for the general nature and the seriousness of the crime that is charged, the criminal history, a six-point failure to appear scale that gauges the likelihood that the defendant would reoffend, and also a new criminal activity scale. And once this risk assessment is done, a decision is made as to whether a person should be released or should be held. So obviously someone made a bad decision, and I understand as a caller you're concerned about this. But
yeah,
bail reform,
it's a computer algorithm. I mean,
yes, it is.
This guy doesn't even go before a judge, and a computer decides whether he gets out of jail or not. And I mean, there's humans are flawed. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. A computer is a man-made object, so that means a computer is flawed. Therefore, I don't think a computer should be designed, a computer should be telling someone, or a computer program that was programmed by someone that could easily be hacked. We're in 2017. I mean, anything can be hacked now.
But it's not just a computer. They also have in New Jersey a criminal justice reform advisory group that regularly meets to review how this law is being implemented, and you have actual people who are making decisions based upon the risk assessment tool. It's not just the computer program that is making that decision. That is a part of the decision to release or to hold for trial.
But the monetary bail system that we had in the monetary bail system that we had before in New Jersey was pro-free to the taxpayer in most cases. This now puts the burden on the taxpayer, and therefore now it's releasing criminals back out onto the street with nothing but like a pinky promise that they're going to go to court.
But under the old bail system, if this person had the necessary funds, he could have bailed himself out altogether. What will happen under
the
new
system?
That is true. But under the new system, if there is a indicator that he or she would reoffend or be a danger to a public safety, they'd be held without bail. They couldn't even make bail. So that's
that is true, but this guy was released with no bail.
Obviously, someone made a mistake. And the fact that this is being publicized will help them to change that system and to tweak it so it doesn't happen again.
Well,
What's the point of
even having a bail reform system? Because the people aren't in jail because they are poor. I mean, the object of this is to release criminals back out on the street because of overcrowding.
No.
In.
I beg to differ with you. One, many people, especially in major cities, are in jail because they are poor and they can't make bail. In the city of Philadelphia, and I'm sure it's the same in Newark and other major cities on the eastern seaboard, you have many people who commit criminal offenses, and under a cash and they can't afford to make bail, so they sit for months and sometimes years . Hello? Hello?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 215-225-1638 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4. Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4. Sorry you are having trouble. Your message has been sent.
Please try again later.
Goodbye.